Hello everyone, just thought I'd bring another little message to you that I believe God has laid upon my heart for you this afternoon, and I trust that it will be a blessing to you as you continue on in our isolation, but nevertheless in our walk with God. Today we're going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30 to a message that I believe is very relevant for our situations again today. And the story involves David and a situation that occurred in his life and in his days before he was the king. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and I'm reading the first 6 verses. Here's how it goes. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag had smitten Ziklag and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's 2 wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Amen, and I trust that the Lord will bless that word to all of our hearts. This records an event of David's life before he was king. He was still on the run. He was on the run from the murderous hands of David. He had taken up with the Philistines. He was living in Ziklag, which was south of Judah, but it was still under Philippine domination. And it seemed at this point that he had teamed up with the Philistines and they were going to fight against King Saul. But the Philistines turned him back because they felt that David would turn on them and he wouldn't fight against his own kith and kin. And I believe that would have been true, but we can't be sure of that. And so he went back to Ziklag again. And when he got back to Ziklag, he found that the Amalekites had come and rifled the land, burned their property, taken all their children, all their possessions and all their animals. And during the course of time, as we read, the people that followed David were starting to point the finger and criticise. And David and his men were greatly distressed. Well, what did David do? Well, David did the one thing that many people never think of doing. David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I began to wonder, what does it mean to encourage yourself in the Lord? How does that look? How does it work out in life? How does it made real in my life? Do I go and listen to my favourite piece of music? Do I get out my favourite passage of scripture and read it? Do I listen to my favourite preacher? Or do I switch to some old hobby and forget about everything and try to put it out of my mind? Well, David encouraged himself in the Lord, and I believe it. I want to share with you 4 things that I believe is quite possible that went through David's mind as he encouraged himself in the Lord. The first thing that I would suggest to you, and there are suggestions, of course, that by way of encouraging himself in the Lord, he reminded himself of who God is. His God is a faithful God. Over and over again, David reminded himself of the many scrapes and the many situations and the many dangers that he had found himself in. And yet God came in every one of those circumstances and proved himself faithful in keeping his promises towards his child David. We serve a faithful God. He promises so much to us. And God always keeps his promises. God never fails. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, I think it is, and verse 13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. David knew that God would fulfill his promises. David knew that God always keeps his promises. I was reading this morning in Psalm number 89, verses 1 and 2, and in those two verses it speaks of God's mercy, God's faithfulness, God's covenant to David. And those three words all make up one word, and it talks about the steadfast love of God. And as I surveyed and as I investigated what steadfastness means, I discovered it means stubborn. God is stubborn in his love towards you and me. God is stubborn towards his mercy. God doesn't give up. God is not easily thrown off the scent. God does not is not easily shaken from our lives. You can't shake him. He's a faithful God. David reminded himself of that. That in this time of difficulty, social isolation, this time of sadness, this time of great danger, he reminded himself that God is a faithful God. We have a faithful God, folks. He is faithful. Though the circumstances might seem adverse, he is faithful, and he abideth faithful. The second thing that I believe, by way of encouraging himself, I believe that David revisited the day that God called him. What a glorious day that was. The day that Samuel came and was great to do to around the house. David initially was to have no part of it. The brothers were seemingly highly favoured. And I'm sure he must have wondered which one of the brothers was going to receive the anointing, the special favour that was going to come through Samuel from God. What surprise whenever the father Jesse sent out to the hills, "David, Samuel wants you." And the moment David arrived, he anointed him with the horn of oil, which symbolised that David was going to be the next king. Did you know that whenever you and I were saved, that he made us kings and priests unto God? That he lifted us out of the mire and he set us in the choir? He brought us to be a people who were not a people. He made beauty out of ashes. He brought song and dancing out of our distress and sadness. God called us. God called us to the call of salvation. He marked us out as one of his children. We ought to encourage ourselves that we're marked out by God, that he has called us. Because we could easily allow the circumstances of our lives and the situation of our lives cause us to be discouraged and disheartened, and we start to allow the situations dominate and determine who we are and what we are. Remind yourself today of the day that God saved you, the day that God called you, the day that God set his love upon you, the day that God made you his child, adopted you into his family, and wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and in the pages that cannot be erased. Don't allow the circumstances, because I know that what happens, that whenever we have so much time on our hands, we begin to recall and remember and think about our faults and our failures, and we persuade ourselves that we're nothing and we're nobody. What we ought to do is remind ourselves of the geography of the Bible. He has made us to sit in heavenly places with Christ in him. Ephesians 1 verse 3. We can sit in the ashes of despair and misery. And we can point the finger of self-accusation and incrimination. And we can allow the faults and failures and the situation in which we find ourselves and persuade ourselves into thinking that it is some awful, terrible thing that we have done that has us in this situation. David reminded himself of the day God called him. You remind yourself of the day God saved you. Survey the time around the cross when Christ was dying in your place and in your stead, giving his life that we might have life. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Here's the third thing I believe would have been running through his mind. David recalled all the Lord had done for him. He recalled all the Lord had done for him. I did say in my last little message, Psalm 23, he was sitting on the side of a mountain caring for the sheep, lonely and alone. And then he reminded himself, or he remembered, or he thought to himself, God is my shepherd. The Lord, Yahweh, the provider God, is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then there was the awful time, which is recounted in Psalm 32, of his sin with Bathsheba. and how even that was a gross sin that led to murder, deception, and all kinds of plotting and planning for the murder of Bathsheba's husband. How God had forgiven him. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. David also reminded himself of Psalm 40, perhaps, that he waited patiently on the Lord. I don't know what the circumstance was, the situation, and how he hung on and hung on and hung on, and eventually God came to him. I don't know, but whatever the situation was, it was difficult for David. I think of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Oh, what it must have meant for David to recall all the days, all the things that God has done for him, all the tight scrapes that he'd been through. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And a fourth thing that I want to suggest to you, as David encouraged himself in the Lord, he reviewed the victories already won. He could have reminded himself of the lion, the bear. What about Goliath? What about Saul's scheming plan to eradicate his name from the face of the earth? God had beaten off every enemy thus far. God had given him strength and strategy over Goliath. God had helped him over every obstacle that lay on his way. And God was also going to remove every obstacle that lay in his way to recovering everything that he possessed. God wants you and I to recover everything that the enemy has stolen from us. A God who will go to any lengths, who knows no enemy, who knows no boundary, and who knows no difficulty that cannot be overcome to come to your aid and to mine. Who knows? God knows of no giant that he cannot defeat. God knows of no question that he cannot answer. God will meet every cost. He'll pay any price. He'll dispense any remedy, no matter what. This is the God we remind ourselves of today, isn't it? The God who gave his Son. The Son who gave his life. And the gift that was given at Calvary, the gift of God's salvation through faith in Christ. The predominant emotion, I'm not saying the only emotion, but the predominant emotion that you and I should have today, well, amongst them should be joy, faith, hope, thankfulness. For what the Lord has brought us through, for what the Lord is doing for us now, and for what the Lord will do for us. David encouraged himself in the Lord, because after all, that is what salvation is all about. Salvation is rescuing us from the clutches of the enemy. It's about delivering us from the power of sin. It's about making us new creatures in Christ. It's about undoing everything that the enemy has done through the fallen at the garden. And it's about bringing the life of Christ to you and I. That's what redemption's all about. That's what salvation is all about. And that's why he saved you. So that you would recover all. David recovered all. I love it. David recovered all. You'll find that in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 18. Because he set his focus and his vision on the God that he loved and said. It says that David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. This is who God was to him. This is what God had done for him. And so he encouraged himself in that God that had proven himself so powerful, so faithful, and so merciful to him down through his life. And because of that, he recovered all. And if you read carefully through the verses before you get to verse 18, you'll know that they came across an Amalekite who was wounded and weary, and he was laying the side of the road, and David's men found him, and he was able to point to where they would recover David's possessions and family and his men's family. God worked for him. God working for him. Even when it appeared everything was lost, God was setting up little pointers to whereby he would recover everything. I say to you today, God wants you to recover all. And it might be just today, as you are listening to this little message, that God is speaking to your heart and he's communicating to your life that you too can recover all at this time. Don't lose out. Don't lose ground. Don't lose out with God. Encourage yourself in Him. Let's just pray for a wee moment. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that every soul listening to this recording will be greatly blessed with the Lord, by the Lord. And oh God, if there are those who have lost out, that they'll recover all as they remember themselves, as they remind themselves of who God is. I pray that you'll come near to every soul, in every home, in every house, in every group, in every organization, where they might be, however they might feel, whatever might be their circumstance, and help them, Lord, to encourage themselves and the Lord, that they may truly recover all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.